No.
Avian Task Group.
Oh yeah, that thing is. I haven't even seen that.
Mostly because we just defer.
That is, the new ones are pretty. The new one definitely has that model, and it looks like a total super sports car.
Four, that's fine. We're actually gone anyway. All right.
Transport one.
We ready?
Lead away.
Lead away, Mon Capitan.
No, I haven't gotten it yet.
Well, it's in the pipe. She sent it out.
Avian Task Group.
I'm not reading it to you. This is not a books on tape.
Okay.
Meeting on tape.
Here we go. Here we go. Listen. Okay, so since the last task group meeting, I've raised a few hackles, apparently, with folks. And so we're kind of taking a new direction now with the new task group. We're going to look at just comparing all the projects and trying to figure out where we can make some improvements. We're doing everything I think we can right now, but maybe there's something we're missing. So I just want to point out that Miller Island Gulf is really what started this whole thing, and it's still my biggest concern. What else can we talk about here? I think I touched on all that already. So this is just basically the same slide that I had up before. This is what concerns me the most, is what we're losing on Miller Island, and I know exactly where they're taking those fish, even though I can't prove it. But I'm going to keep showing this slide until something changes.
What were those estimates based on? Recaptures at?
Recaptures, or the pit take. Recoveries.
Recoveries?
Yep.
At Miller?
Yep.
May I interject and ask, could you try sending that PowerPoint to my other email address, my initial cfm97@me.com?
Are you able to do that on your BlackBerry or something? Aaron's going to try.
Okay, thanks.
I can try too, but can you go slowly through who you want it sent to, Charlie?
Yeah, man.
My initial C. F is in fish, M is in moral, 97@me.com.
So CFM.
Yeah. 97@me.com.
What's your age?
Hey, Bob, is this similar to the 2017 meeting PowerPoint?
I sent it, Aaron.
No, because we're changing direction on it.
All right.
Initially I was looking at Miller Island. I'm thinking we need to do something with Miller Island, but that's a dead end. We're not going to be able to do anything with it. For one, the Corps doesn't own it. It sounds like that has been pretty much confirmed that the Corps does not own it, and nobody has stood up to say they do own it. So we're stuck. There's no way we can. And on top of that, the last task group meeting, one of the recommendations was this should be at the Inland Avian Predation Work Group.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Inland Avian Predation Work Group is dying after this year. So that's a dead end. We're not going to get anything done there. So.
Okay, I got it. Thank you.
Okay. Anyways.
I haven't, but I'm not going to stop the meeting because of it. Just go ahead.
Okay. So what I have up now is just the alarming numbers that we're seeing coming off of Miller Island pit tag recoveries. And these are the listed stocks that seem to be hit especially hard. And like I mentioned, we know where they're taking their fish. It's between the Dells and John Day. That's where we're seeing the birds. So one of the things we want to do is just compare all the projects and see what everybody is doing. Maybe we can share some ideas that'll help each other out on this. And so I just basically took the slides from the Inland Avian Group, for from the Walla Walla presentation and ours, and just coming together, look at what we have at each project as far as avian line coverage. I'll blow through these fast because we don't have a whole lot of time, and most of you are probably familiar with where the lines are.
Is this the new John Day?
There's the new John Day, color coded.
Yeah. I like it. Covers everybody.
It's all about aesthetics.
Nice.
Yeah. McNary, which
they got a lot.
It sounds like they could use a few more, and it sounds like they are working towards that goal. I know they did. Track and Bar came out to the project.
Is this McNary?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have that. It was mentioned. I think Dave mentioned it earlier. There at the 60% for looking at avian lines and feasibility. And we talked at the last meeting. I went back after I had to take that strong stance that they weren't going to consider it. I talked to the OPM, and he started saying, let's see what the plan they have. You know, if it'll save us money, then we will reconsider it.
Okay.
So.
Hey, Dave's on. This is Dave. I'm on the phone, too.
Thanks, Dave.
Oh, hi, Dave.
Hey, just FYI, hopefully everybody saw I sent out the 60% plans for the revised sprinkler for McNary.
Yep.
Let me know if anybody didn't get that. I can forward it to you if I didn't give it to you.
We got your
bird. And then, like you guys said, we're internally working on a draft feasibility report for options in McNary, like we talked about, and that should be out in the next couple of weeks for comment.
Thank you.
For McNary.
All right, so this may look totally different in the near future.
We hope so.
For avian line coverage. Looks like our Ice Harbor has good coverage, although I don't know where the hot spots are there. In the zones further down, if that's covering the hottest spots for Ice Harbor, I don't know.
I think it is. It's pretty effective. They have a pretty intense hazing program as well. It's one of our most extensive.
It's also way more successful.
Okay, and I have that on a slide coming up at the end, just kind of showing all the difference between hazing and who can do lethal and who can't.
Be jealous.
All right, Lower Monumental. You got those lines over the powerhouse. I don't know what the plan is there for spillway or if that's a consideration.
At this point, I don't think we are aware that we have any issues that we're not able to address adequately at Lomo. So,
like you can reach birds there with hazing or whatever.
From the outfall?
Yeah. I don't know.
What happens at Lomo stays at Lomo?
All right. Lower Granite?
We don't.
There's the grid they have there. I don't know. Is that good enough coverage for folks?
I think Granite doesn't really have bird issues.
No. Okay. Good.
For Granite, just as a reminder, we are putting a new deterrent cannon on the new outfall that had not had one, but will as of May, March, April.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Okay, a little good.
One of my comments on the terminology on cannon, and working with Denise and Bobby at McNary this last season, what they described as a cannon when we looked it up was simply a commercial sprinkler head with more velocity. And I'd like to, my suggestion would be, if it's a sprinkler head, a commercial sprinkler head instead of a cannon, there's quite a difference in the literal interpretation of what a cannon is over a sprinkler head. And I'd like to kind of see that change, especially from Washington's perspective in dealing with impact on pelicans.
So
do you want more or less?
Well, is a cannon... What I'm looking for, the distinction, when you describe a cannon, is it really more than a commercial sprinkler head?
No.
If it is, and that's why I'm kind of concerned about that, the terminology cannon.
No, I think it's the standard commercial sprinkler head. Just,
well, yeah, of course.
It's the standard irrigation gun that goes on the end of a pipe.
That was what I took away from working with Denise when we were looking at the information for what was going on at McNary. So I would suggest you change the word from cannon to standard irrigation or something different other than cannon.
Okay. Dave, are you tracking what Charlie's comments?
Yeah, and I think like what we're putting in at McNary, or sorry, up at Granite, is this traditional shower head, like what most of our projects have, like what Charlie's seen. Granted, that being said, for McNary, what we're proposing is more of a shower head.
So,
commercial irrigation head.
Cleanest birds you've ever seen.
Bird bath.
Yeah. It's still, I think, in line with what folks are looking for. But we just think it'll be a little more effective.
Yeah, and I get that. But as I said, if we could describe it as other than a cannon, I think there might be some benefits in dealing with other sides of this issue and concern over pelicans.
Yeah, you're just worried about it not being a high-pressure cannon.
I think it's trying to say wording.
Exactly.
If you say at
the scene of water cannons dispersing, demonstrated in front of a police van, no, it's not a cannon.
Yeah, and like what we're putting in McNary here, designing is more of a high-volume shower head.
Right, high-volume.
Not a cannon, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Resolve. Onward.
A question on the cannons, do we need them 24/7? I know we run them that way frequently, but some of them are programmable. I was wondering if shut them off at night for a few hours.
Run them all night?
Really? You want to maybe not flush the toilets too with fans? I mean,
yes,
come on,
double
really?
Flush, yellow bowl only.
At home, I'm the same way, but come on. Really?
It's a chunk of electricity over time.
Okay.
It's quite a bit of pumping. Anyways,
well, it seems like it's a visual, so it's a daytime is when you really daylight hours.
They frequently
critical.
Run 24/7, and some of them have timers on them, some don't. So,
if you got the option, sure.
Yeah.
So, Dave, I think for Lord Granite, Scott's asking if you could put a timer on it to regulate it to daylight hours.
And front same.
Yeah, it does, or at least has a switch, and it's where the switch is easily. In the normal rounds of separator techs.
That's being at home with my
family. No, that's not the same as a timer. Is there a timer on it?
I don't remember for Granite. I think Scott gave me that prior OSAC comment for McNary. And we'll make sure we have that in some fashion for McNary. Granite, I will have to look back and see if we're putting a timer in, but it's where the switch is readily accessible to the separator techs for during the rounds.
Well, the one at McNary isn't got a solar battery connected to it like the one at Goose.
Yeah, I think Bobby said McNary's currently does, but they don't turn it off because they have a prime issue on their current one. But that should go away with our new cannon there. Their new turn top.
We'd have to ask the project bios whether they have solar batteries or not. We don't have that information here today.
Yeah, correct.
Great comment to make.
I did deduct the checks through David.
Okay, keep moving. Tammy's urging us.
Onward. Okay, Little Granite, I talked about that one.
She's going to start grabbing
Little Goose, there's Little Goose. Questions, comments? Nope, done.
You do know that question about Granite, though.
Okay. So I tried to condense what kind of hazing activity was done at each project and just try to get it kind of a standardization or try to figure out if there is a standardization of what is happening. So our standardization is no lethal. The upriver dams, they obviously have their lethal up in Walla Walla, and they have different triggers for that. So one of the things that I was curious about is each project just responsible to determine their own trigger when they actually apply lethal? How does that work?
No, that's done by APHIS. The triggers is something that we identified in the appendix for additional action when our given program of hazing and lethal take wasn't effective enough. But it's totally at the discretion of APHIS. So they're trying to use everything, and when they get to the point where they need to send a stronger message, they use lethal.
So in looking at the information from that, they all kind of have different numbers, which is couldn't quite figure out, you know, some of them were 100 to 200, that would trigger the...
There is no, we do not have a set number that triggers lethal. That is not correct. It's totally at the discretion of APHIS.
Okay.
Didn't you have to borrow from a permit from the mid-seas?
No, we have, they go out collectively and they negotiate with Fish and Wildlife Service knowing that there's going to be take in the lower snake, and we have not had issues with them going beyond that we're aware of what they allocate for that area.
When we used to have lethal at the Dallas, they used to have, APHIS used to have like an upper maximum limit of birds per week.
Well, this is for the season now. They have an upper maximum.
So this is what I pulled off of just the slides from the Inland Avian Work Group. And that's why I was trying to figure out if who's determining that and how the numbers.
So that's just how many they took in the last year, probably. I don't know where this trigger for increased action.
It was a trigger.
No,
the
woman that came and presented for the Inland Avian Plan.
Oh,
for,
Denise?
Yes. She came and said, like at McNary, they take like, as soon as you get over 100, 200 birds, then they will use lethal. And each project kind of had its own specific thing.
That interpretation is not, I do not agree with that interpretation.
Why didn't you talk to her?
So Denise is an assistant bio at the project.
Meaning you don't think it's accurate.
That's correct.
This is not
accurate. Yeah, no, I mean, there is, I mean, these might be guidelines. Maybe she probably called up APHIS and said, do you have some guidelines that I can put in these slides? Because and she was trying to do a good job with her talk and give as much information as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're out in the field and we sit down and talk to them annually at the meeting, it's totally at their discretion as to when they need to use it. And the amount varies year to year by project. There is no set, I hit 87, I start shooting birds type stuff.
So the bios, the project bios have no say in when they actually start.
Not really. Okay. They can urge them that there's an issue that they don't think is being adequately addressed, but they can't make them start shooting.
What?
Shaking on the table, did you know that?
Yeah.
Must have been.
No levitating. No levitation allowed in the room while we're having a meeting.
I feel like the big one's coming.
Okay, well that is good information, because if we're going to push to try to get lethal at the lower projects, we're going to need to know how to set some kind of.
So we usually have a meeting in June with APHIS and all of our projects where we have these kind of discussions, but you could call our reps for APHIS.
Okay.
I can always be wrong, but I specifically ask for the lethal take charts every year so I can look back through the last few years and see how it changes.
Yeah.
But 2 years ago, a little goose, the assistant bio was acting for the bio and he wanted them to start doing lethal and they refused because they didn't feel that they had exhausted all the other options for dissuading birds. And
okay.
So there's been numerous discussions, and to my knowledge, there is no fixed number. I think this is someone trying to give you guidelines as, and maybe this came from APHIS as guidelines. I'm not saying she made it up. I don't think she did, but it's not an SOP.
This is Dave.
Dave?
I think what Denise was referring to at the meeting was the guidelines for additional efforts that are outlined in the avian appendix. And if it's a conversation I was there for, she just was referring to not actually hazing, but the lethal, but just increased efforts.
And that's what that would fit with what we have in the appendix, is that those are individually identified by each project for where there was going to be a trigger for more action needed, but the more action needed wasn't lethal.
Which is correct.
Yeah, that's at least the conversation I heard or saw happen with somebody.
Thanks, Dave.
But
so
excuse me.
Go ahead.
I don't think this is about the trigger. I think this is about, is it needed and warranted? Isn't that where we're going? So I think we're kind of getting wrapped around.
We totally endorse lethal, and we feel that lethal saves us a lot of money.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
So, I mean, hands down.
So we get it in the board.
And we're very cautious to not try to tip that so that we would lose it. So that, hence, that's why the project bio does, you know, it's left up to APHIS. Yeah. APHIS is the national expert at this. They have a broad program and we leave it up to their discretion.
All right. So if that's working, that's what we want to. I also added in here, I pulled off those slides, just the trying to figure out the amount of time everybody was hazing, how much time they're putting in, and what methods are being used boat versus shore. And obviously every project is different, so you can't apply the same thing across the board. For example, John Day, it's pointless to have somebody shooting pyros off the shore. You're not going to do anything. So they have to have somebody out on the boat on them. And then some of the others have a combo. We have a combo at the Dells that we try to run, and then we this is changing a little bit because of budget for us. We've been trying to figure out how to get the best bang for our buck. I've been waiting to use that.
You didn't include the sea line? I mean, they do birds while they're doing sea lines.
At Bonneville.
At Bonneville, yeah.
No, they don't. They're very separate.
Two separate crews, right now we're trying to work on that.
We could change that, though.
When they're sitting on the outfall pipe, they seem to take a shot at it.
You know, when you do, you need to clear the gun every so often.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and they, for the three sea lines we've had up there, they same thing. If we get them at the entrance, you fish at the entrance, we just call them over and have them leave.
You're going to end up with sleds.
We are?
Just start planning now. You had the sea lines up there for how many years?
6.
Yeah, but nothing's been in yet. We don't have a single documented inside of the
They're too fat.
That's a different meeting.
It takes too much effort. So, on this, does anybody see anything that stands out where improvements could be made?
Aside from the red ends,
as far as hazing goes, the amount of time hazing.
Sense of a certain theme here, Bob.
I know. I'm trying to build a case.
Yeah. And the problem is you're arguing to the wrong crowd. I mean, you got a jury that's like, we're not going to be a hung jury for you.
I know.
We're all going
to
say,
but
yeah.
LEFCOM has to make the right
decision. Has there been any consideration for drones again?
Is it possible? Armed drones?
Yeah, right. Paint gun.
They chase them already.
The one thing
we did try it once years ago.
I got great pictures of it.
Yeah.
You could try again. The thing is, they're finding that the drones, unless you get them really close to the birds, that's what RTR did in their presentation. Yep. Drones don't really bug the birds that much unless you get super, super close to a nesting bird or something like that. They're going whatever.
Yeah.
Now, if you maybe made a
little bit of Scott. Unfortunately, there are some other unrelated, rarely cited federal laws that pretty much tell you explicitly you can't harass birds with drones.
Considered
hunting. There's some law. Obscure federal laws that pretty explicitly forbid that.
So one of the things I want to point out, not to pick on John Day, Merrill. You guys have an 8-hour boat shift, right?
Yes.
And then after 8 hours, then they clock out and there's no hazing, right?
Yes.
Checking if the birds
are working. Is there any indication that the birds clock in right after hazers clock out?
There is some, but there is a longer lasting effect from the morning into the afternoon. Because as compared with the... We had some observations to that effect, and there's also a multi-day as well, which eventually wears out. The longer the gap, and you don't have hazing, then the birds are coming back. But they're still somewhat wary in the afternoon because they still remember that they were hazed in the morning. So we still think that with one boat shift, the situation was under control as well.
You do it 4 days a week?
Pardon?
Are you guys working 4/10s or what's?
It's 7 days a week.
So that's one of the things that we're changing a little bit at the Dalles is trying to ramp up that peak time, May, June. I'm trying to ramp that up, and then on the April and July, we can let off a little bit. Anyways, we're doing what we can on that.
Well, and sorry, Bob, but comparing John Day to the Dalles, John Day's got a pretty extensive wire array.
Yes.
That was part of the alternative, the spillways and the array made one alternative there.
the Dells, it didn't, that's not the way it worked in the school law because of configuration. Right. So it's kind of an apple and orange.
That's true.
We've got a bigger problem in my mind at the Dells.
But it used to be worse at John Day until someone came up with an idea. Who was that father?
Who blows sweaters?
All right, so there is nobody in this group that thinks these red ands should stay that way.
Well, just from the standpoint of one, to be more effective, to be more cost effective, it makes sense to have a neutral toolbox.
Okay.
So do you need a recommendation from the task group that goes to FPOM, that FPOM makes a recommendation to the...
I need a recommendation that can go as high as possible to change this.
So, it might be worthwhile for the tribes and our partners to write a letter to the
county.
Okay. So how many years ago do we lose this Lower River? 15?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been about that.
God, don't tell me I'm that old.
It's been about that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that long ago.
So it's, it yeah, may have been long enough to get it back. I mean,
now, you'd be surprised, there's a...
Some people remember the flotilla of dead birds going by.
Yeah.
There's a lot more interest in not legally taking birds right now. Partly because of Beeson Island management action. Ottawa's very...
So, I can kind of hear what's being said. I just hope I'm not interrupting, but the red ends and the black Ys on the table... What Ann said makes me wonder if the black Ys are real or not. For clarity, are they? Or
yes, no, we have lethal at all of the Walla Walla projects. What we don't have is a fixed number where all of a sudden they start shooting birds. So the interpretation for the trigger for increased action column was mis...
it's incorrect.
It's not correct the way we were interpreting it. All they wanted this, I think it, the lethal should be gone from all of those, and if that word was taken off that trigger column, we've identified that we have lethal in the column before that, and then the trigger would be when we feel that we're still having too many birds, irregardless of lethal take or anything else, in season, we have some other actions identified in the appendix in the fish passage plan.
Thanks for the extra clarity. Sorry about revisit.
Okay. All right.
No, it's important. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah, that's what we're doing here.
I mean, we're looking for a recommendation to make these all wise is what I'm hearing. Just a higher level thought process.
Yeah, I think that is what where they're driving.
I don't know that we can recommend that yet, but I hear the call to think about it for sure.
Okay. All right. I don't know if I had any other. I'm just continuing on. Yeah, go ahead.
It's Dave again. You want to talk about, I don't mean to call you out, but we had talked when Denise and I were down there about your wire spacing a bit versus John Day. I think we've got some discussion here.
Just talking about the difference between the two wires?
Yeah, their spacing and thoughts about spacing for John Day and effectiveness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What was the... So that's something that came up when Dave came down to the Dalles, was this question on the spacing between the wires and can we get them... Should they be tighter or not? And I don't know... I don't know what the spacing difference is between the Dalles and John Day.
I think ours is about 20 feet apart.
Yeah, I think my sense in as we've been looking at the stuff McNary is that John Day is like 20 to 30 on average, and
yeah,
the Dalles is more like 50 or...
Well, I did find some numbers for you, didn't I? I thought I sent something to you.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what your numbers were.
I can't remember what they were either. Anyway.
I'll pull up your email while you're talking.
What's that?
Is that as wide as a point?
No, it's like middle.
Middle?
Yeah.
Where I think McNary's widest point is like 30 feet maybe on average.
currently or with your revised feasibility that you're going to recommend?
Sorry, for John Day, I'm talking for Mira's existing array. I think their target was hidden 20 to 40 foot spacing at most at John Day. And we're essentially what we're writing up in the McNary feasibility is targeting that same spacing that John Day, John Day has at 20 to 40 foot spacing.
Yeah, don't pick the Dallas.
As the most extensive, if you will. Obviously, there's options there.
So are you pulling onto the table that maybe the wire spacing should be tighter and that that's another option that they should be exploring?
And that's one thing.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to prod into talking for, like, John Day or for the Dalles is their space. Like, I think Bob was only saying to me when we were down there that they see birds actually in between their wires that sounds like Miro and folks don't see it, John Day.
Well, that was one question I had.
Might be a spacing issue.
Well, have you taken a look at putting maybe a connection point on Gary Wall and fanning out from there just to...
And then crisscross?
Do a little mesh it up and just make it a little more difficult for them to work that area.
Yeah, we talked about it some last year when they came in to do the repairs and just to see what we could do to try to crisscross lines or at least double them up so if one breaks, then we're not open.
Yeah.
But we never...
From a structural perspective, I think the biggest issue with the crisscross is you got to keep them... You don't want them touching. You don't want
They can't touch.
Layers overlapping with each other.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you have. How much of a sag issue you have? I don't know.
We don't know.
Installation would be different.
Yeah. We'll continue to look at that to try to tighten up the grid and see if we can do something different with the grid. But it's still only the solution for upstream of the bridge. And our biggest problem is downstream of the bridge where we. Shooters, and what happened a lot in the past. I know when they were able to shoot, the hazers would stage because the birds have come under the wire, under the bridge, under the wires, and so they would stage down under the bridge on the island and wait for those ones that would come in, the quote instigators that would come in, and then they would whack those and keep them up under the bridge.
Yeah, that worked pretty well.
Can you hang wires down from the bridge?
ODOT
doesn't want us to touch the bridge anymore.
Which is funny because we used to have.
Hey, Bob.
We used to. Yeah.
I think if I'm interpreting the design criteria you sent me for your array, I think that's the same. Your line space, your downstream line spacing, something like 125 feet between wires, if I'm reading this right.
Oh, that must be at the widest point then between those poles.
Yeah, I think that's on the Washington shore there at the end points.
Okay.
Is there anything more in Blaylock?
Yeah, I didn't think they were that far. All right.
Anything more in Blaylock?
I might not be interpreting that right, but what's in one of these documents you sent.
I have one suggestion pertaining to the effectiveness of hazing. I think using long-range rockets would enhance over this firecrackers that we've been currently using. They used to have long-distance rockets, but then they, when I talked to USDA, they said that they discontinued because they couldn't find a good supplier of reliable rockets which would fire in a consistent way. Which I found it kind of amazing. And at John Day, it's really important because they're working from outside of the BRZ, and the target area is somewhat distant. So long-distance rockets are really making a big difference, and we have the evidence from the past. And you don't need that many per day, but they do scare birds all better than the smaller fireflies.
And you do have birds that get inside your lines, right, that you can't reach.
Yeah, because they cannot go inside of the BRZ because then they would need the safety mode.
So those wires aren't working very well.
No, wires, if you look at the wire rate, they
wires don't work standalone. They need to be supplemented with hazing. I think that's a fundamental fact which is made a big difference. Wires don't work standalone.
Yeah.
The gaps are
limited effectiveness.
If you go up to Rocky Reach and some of the other projects,
there needs to be an additional.
They have
one. So, in the interest of time, we're going to have to pause this task group meeting and carried on in March.
But what I was going to say is, if Bob, you want to write up a recommendation for task group that we think the core needs to look more into lethal hazing for the core district, that's something that I think the task group could agree to, take it to the next step, they can raise it, we can send them a food chain that way. I will work internally to get us a letter from our shop to the core saying we think you need to at least look at this.
Yep. All of FPOM agrees.
Eric had one comment. I'm not sure if we had uniform agreement.
From where?
Eric Van Dyke.
Oh, go ahead.
Eric, are you fine with this or you've got a different idea?
Eric, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm still on.
When it came to supporting lethal take for Portland District, did you not have comments a few minutes ago? Are you in agreement with Tom that you would support a letter coming from the task group and then taking it to FPOM that could go forward supporting lethal take for Portland District projects?
Yeah, I just wasn't ready to recommend that yet at all.
Well, so I mean, we were having some conversation here that was assuming, and I just didn't want to.
I mean, Bob could write it up, send it to the task group, and the task group can make changes or say yes or no, and we'll move forward from there as is.
Okay.
Because otherwise, we're going to have to wait for another meeting before we do that. And
so that works for me.
Does that work for you, Bob?
Thanks. That works.
Anything on Blaylock Island new?
Shush. Yeah, if you guys could accidentally raise the pool every so often. I think you need to do it non-purposely every so often. Have a random occurrence. I brought this up, and the core Langsley and that base said, nope, that is not ours. We are. How they can say that a property they own, pay U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to manage, they have no management authority to, I don't know. But the U.S. Fish was not willing to make any changes. So, yeah, that one.
Yeah, it's based on how the real estate agreement set up, and it's Rocky's property to manage.
Right, but
you own it.
But if we operate the pool differently in the future, that doesn't matter.
As long as you're not systematically doing it, you're fine. But if you're systematically doing it,
you
can just
do a check. Yeah, the refuge has no authority over how the pool is managed.
Okay. Take them home with you. You'll need them for the drive.
Okay. Yeah. So that might be something you'll ask for in the future.
I'm willing to. That's one of the comments I was going to make to Trevor is like in your next buy-up, talk about pool modification.
So the core owns the island and
they own Blaylocks and they pay. They have a real estate agreement with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to manage that.
So I'm wondering if we could consider that a federal action and rule that into the buy-up.
I was going to say at the very least, we could talk about ruling an operation because right now there was concern that they don't have NEPA coverage. If we wanted to say raise the pool every so often during nesting season, so it takes anything. They said that was a take. So
saying to mitigate their federal action that they changed the pool every so often.
Yep. Well, their U.S. Fish was saying you're doing a take on turns. And we're going, but if it's covered, if it's written up next buy-up,
then the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service can make them consult for that action.
That's what needs
to
happen.
Did Blank on the line? Yeah. I mean, if you're involved in this conversation at all?
Trevor?
Yeah.
Keep in mind, the refuge considers their doing nothing at Blaylocks as a no accident. They have not consulted on their CCP, their floor management of that refuge, and what they do or don't do at Blaylocks.
They're kind of hanging out, is what he's saying.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying it's possible to leave the Fish and Wildlife Service somewhat out of it and just go through the core owns the island and leases it. That's a federal action that you consult on.
And they're leasing to another federal family, so it's like, it's all within the federal family.
Yeah,
it's a weird one.
It's the way the lease is written, it's,
wow, we got everybody not motivating here to move.
Essentially, Portland's view is that they don't have any ability to actually do anything that that refuge under this is Portland's view.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Okay, we're breaking up. See you guys.
Bye.